Hi, I'm CJ.
And I'm Kari.
And this is Expecting Expats.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very exciting episode of Expecting Expats. I'm gonna try not to cry, but today we're gonna hear Kari's birth story because she just gave birth like less than a week ago.
I know, less than a week ago. It's 6 days ago, so you probably hear me and are like, how are you on a podcast after 6 days of birth? But
yeah, you're looking great.
Oh, thank you. I think, though, it's after the second one just makes you, you're just more confident. You'll know. Because as soon as the baby comes out, you're like, cool, this is how you breastfeed. This is how you change the diaper. This is how you do these things. You're not so overwhelmed with all these new things. Mm-hmm. And then, and we'll get into this, but the type of birth I had also, I think, impacted the way I'm feeling.
Yes, we're so excited to hear all about it.
I know.
You have to take us back from the beginning.
The beginning. Yeah, so basically, on Sunday night of last week, so it started on a Sunday, I started having, you know, the normal period pains that would come every like 20 minutes, mm-hmm. 30 minutes. And I thought to myself, oh, this is how it kind of started last time.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm going to have a kid. And so you kind of just get excited, but you're like, okay, it's 8 p.m. at night. I just put Dagny down for bed. And I'm like, okay, just relax, enjoy, like watch a movie, like basically do what they tell you to do. Like just kind of ignore it.
Yeah.
And so, relax and ignore it. So we did that. I didn't really tell anyone just because I'm like, I don't want to make it a big deal. Like just ignore it. And and then basically it kind of grew in a bit of intensity. And then it just kind of stayed there a bit. So like, it grew in intensity, and then the contraction started getting closer and closer,
mm-hmm.
but like it didn't become crazy intense, right? It was just like,
you just feel, you feel something's going on, but
yeah, it was like annoying intense where like you couldn't sleep anymore, but like not to where you're like breathing, you know, you're just like, oh God, like this is really annoying and I can't sleep.
Yeah.
And then I was timing them like you're supposed to, and they were 5 minutes apart each. Regular for an hour to 2 hours already.
Wow.
And so around 2:30 in the morning, I just tell Eric, I think I'm going to labor, and I'm just like really great at pain management. This is like, it's every 5 minutes, you know, and I should be hopefully then like 5 or 6 centimeters dilated, and like maybe I'm just really great at pain, you know, I just don't feel it.
Was this the first time you told him that something was happening?
Yeah, already? And he then got excited. He's like, oh, really? Okay, but are we supposed to go in? Because, like, you're talking to me like normal, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I guess we'll just, like, I'm just going to go in and I'll just text the babysitters or, like, the people who we know, like, the friends who are going to come over. I'll text them to say, hey, can you just be, like, on the alert? I'm going to go to the hospital by myself.
Yeah.
I put everything together, like the hotel, not the hotel, the hospital bag was already there, but I put it in the front so then Eric could come and bring it when he joined me. And then I went to the hospital and they put me on the CTG scan.
In the middle of the night.
In the middle of the night, so like at 2:30, and I got a cab there and I was kind of like, okay, like I can handle this. So then I go there, it's a CTG scan. They're like, okay, yeah, it seems like you're in labor. And I'm like, but I don't feel so bad. Mm-hmm. And then they check and I'm only 1 centimeter dilated.
Okay.
And then they're like, okay, like it might intensify. You can either go home and come back or you can stay here. And I thought, oh, well, I'm going to stay here because I'm going to go into labor. And so I stayed there and then I went to a private room and then basically I like woke up at 7:30.
Yeah, so you fell asleep.
Yeah, so I probably slept for like maybe two and a half, 3 hours maybe total. And I woke up at 7:30 from them waking me up And clearly, because I slept, the contractions had stopped. And then I thought, what is that about? Like, is that normal? Like, that contractions didn't, you know, and then Eric's texting me like, what's happening?
Yeah.
I guess nothing. So anyways, I went to the CTG scan, or I went on it. No contractions. And then the doctor came in and said, look, we're not going to induce you because you're 3 days away from your due date.
Yeah.
And so there's no medical reason to induce you.
Yeah.
And so you just have to go home. So it was really defeating and discouraging, right?
Yeah.
And it's called prodromal labor, because I looked it up after. I mean, false labor, prodromal labor.
Yeah.
But it's different from Braxton Hicks, because Braxton Hicks is random, irregular,
yeah,
very painful, sometimes not. Where this is like, it technically like leads up to something, but like it stops in intensity. And so it just like continues like with annoying contractions, but like no intensity.
It's so annoying that, yeah, because it sounded like they were so regular and everything.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah, they're regular. I was timing it with my little app. I'm like, like, you know, every 5 minutes, this is, and again, I was thinking, oh man, like I can handle this pain. This is perfect. Like my birthing courses has helped me so much. Anywho, so I go home. So that's, now it's Monday. And I go home and it's around like 9:30, and I at least have a little bit of breakfast, and I just tell Eric, like, I'm exhausted. I need to try to go to sleep.
Yeah.
So again, I tried to take a nap, and I did for maybe about an hour, and then it started again.
Uh-huh.
These like fake contractions is what I thought. And again, it was just like this annoying, where I couldn't sleep. And so I would try to, you know, watch some videos on YouTube or whatnot, just trying to understand what was happening.
Yeah.
And like how to get over the disappointment. Because at this time I thought, oh man, I'm not going to labor anytime soon.
Yeah. Like, you were texting me like that you were worried that it would be like taking forever.
Yeah. And they, you know, I'm watching these YouTube videos about, like, oh, well, it means that your birth is going to be really quick if you're doing all this prodromal labor, mm-hmm, because your body's really getting used to it. And
yeah,
I'm like, okay, but this started on Sunday and I haven't really slept, and I don't understand how I'm going to get to the finish line if I haven't slept.
No.
And so throughout the day, I'm just having this, I mean, I'm still trying to ignore it and walk around and trying to eat, but I couldn't eat. Like, I was just like, I don't even want to eat. Like,
because
it's every 5 minutes where I feel like I have to breathe and, you know. And then, however, around like 3 p.m., 4 p.m., Dagny came home.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when I was really thinking, okay, this is getting intense.
Yeah.
More intense than it had been yesterday.
Yeah.
But again, I'm like, haven't slept. So I'm thinking, is this just in my mind because it's so annoying?
Yeah.
But then I felt like, okay, I'm really hungry. I should probably eat something, like get electrolytes, basically doing what they're telling you to do on, you know, YouTube and even the courses that you take, like make sure you're eating healthy foods. And I had bought those things for the hospital. So I'm like going through my hospital bag, like having some dates, having some like Powerade. And then I'm just, but honestly, like the next 5 minutes, I'm thinking, I'm going to throw up. Like, this is horrible. Like, how can people eat? Like, because I'm like, in 5 minutes. And then the next 5 minutes, it's just like, what? Like, this. Okay, I have to breathe through it. And so then, again, I'm just watching YouTube. But they're giving me headaches because I can't really focus. And I was trying to watch, you know, Game of Thrones, something to, like,
distract
me. But I couldn't. And but then I read on a forum that you could go into the hospital if you're having such bad prodromal labor and it's annoying.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to the hospital and they can give you some type of sleep medication just so you can sleep, or Benadryl or something like that. And I thought, okay, that's fine. So I just told Eric around 7:30 p.m., hey, I'm going to the hospital and I'm going to just ask for one of these, like, morphine or drips so I can just sleep.
Yeah.
So that the next day, whenever labor comes or whenever it happens,
at least you'll be rested.
Exactly. And I can eat some food and when I get up and something. And he's like, okay, cool. Just like keep me posted. And then that's when, okay, so this is 8 p.m. now. I'm in the hospital. they do the CTG scan and they do a cervical exam and they say, oh, you're like 3 to 4 centimeters dilated.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they're like, you're actually in labor right now.
Ooh.
And then I was like,
oh my God.
Oh my God. But then I'm like, but I haven't slept. Like, I was so exhausted. And I'm like, I've only slept like 3 hours and I haven't eaten anything for like basically a day and a half.
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, I just want to sleep. Like, at this point, I'm like, I just want to sleep.
Yeah.
And then they're like, okay, just, you know, just relax. And so, again, I'm like, text Eric. I text the babysitters. Everyone does, like, the handover. And that was probably an hour or so. And then around 9-ish, they come back and they're like, okay, you're still having, you know, normal contractions and you're still at 4 centimeters. And at that point, I thought, and I was talking to Eric, I thought, I think I might have to have an epidural because I need to sleep.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to make it. I'm just so exhausted right now.
Yeah.
And that was like my motto. I'm just so exhausted. And, you know, and they're like, okay, cool. Well, we can do the epidural, but it's going to be like, we're doing an UberGABA, which is like the coverage. The new doctors and the new nurses, like a shift change
happening.
Yeah. And they're like, we're doing the shift change right now and they're going to go through all the reports and all the people. So it's going to probably take a little while,
mm-hmm.
but you're going to be the first person who gets the new doctor on the shift and blah, blah, blah for the anesthesia. And so I'm like, okay, great. So I'm just like waiting and waiting. And it's like an hour. I'm like, where is my epidural?
Is Eric with you at this point or is he still at
home?
He's
with me.
Yeah.
And so he's with me. He came over. Jennifer, thank you, Jennifer. I'm shouting out. She came and watched Dagny.
Oh, good.
And so during like my little contractions, I was kind of like texting her like, okay, like you can do this. Because of course you're like worried. Like,
yeah.
Like if Dagny wakes up, you can have, you know, she can have this and all this kind of things. And I probably should have just like given that stuff to Eric, but I don't know why. I was just like, okay, I have like 5 minutes to like text back, you know,
before
I start having to breathe for another 60 seconds. So then I'm like waiting and I'm like ringing the bell, like, where's the doctor? It's been an hour. And anywho, the doctor came in. He gave me the epidural.
How was that? Because I'm a bit scared of,
you know,
that needle.
Yeah. So I didn't see that needle. Okay. I saw the needle though that they put in me for just an IV to just be safe.
Yeah.
Which they have to do. When you go
to
the hospital.
They also did it to me last
and
time.
That needle I saw, and that one I was like, what? Like I didn't realize how big that one was.
Oh no.
Yeah, sorry for like, and then, yeah, and the whole time you're like sitting here with your hand, like, oh my gosh, I have this massive thing in me. But I didn't see the needle. It did like hurt, but it wasn't painful at all.
Did they put it in during a contraction or how did they?
No, so I had to lean over with my head down and like really my, like basically my back like just hunched.
Yeah.
And they, you know, told me this is where we're going to put it. Okay, breathe in. Do not move. And like the two nurses were like holding me so I didn't move.
Yeah.
And then they waited until the contraction was done. And they're like, if a contraction is starting, you have to let us know.
Yeah.
Because we want to do it when you like are relaxed.
Okay.
So it was kind of funny because he's like getting out the stuff. I'm like, okay, contraction. There's a contraction happening. Like, and I'm like bent over like this. And they're like, okay, breathe through it. But I'm like in this like huddled position. Like, can I just? Anyways, but again, contractions only last like 60 to 90 seconds. Maybe even 30 to 90 seconds. But so it's like, okay, breathing. It's like a wave. And then it kind of comes down. And, you know, I'm on a CTG scan. So you can like even see it go up. And then it, like, you can see it coming down. You're like, okay, just go down quicker.
Yeah.
So they did put it in once I was not having a contraction. And it didn't hurt that much. And the doctors were so nice because I lay on my back? Like, where's this needle? And they're like, no, we just kind of stick a needle in. But then we put something in your back to, like, hold that in place. And then they gave me this little pump, a clicker. That every 30 minutes, if I wanted more, I could click it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, like if the pain was just too bad, I could just keep clicking every 30 minutes to like give me more.
Yeah.
But the first round of dosage, they told me, and this is what I really did like about all the doctors and the Habamas, the midwives, mm-hmm. is that they were very clear about what they were doing. And if I, and I can get into this later, but they were just very honest and open. And what more questions do you have? And again, I was only 4 centimeters at this time, so I could still have complete conversations and be laughing and joking. And, you know, it wasn't like I was just in my la-la land kind of thing. Yeah. And that's kind of the trend over my entire labor, that I was having full-on conversations. But so what happened, though, was I was just kind of like, okay, I'm just doing an epidural. That's fine. So I got the epidural. They gave me the little push. And then they said, okay, why don't you just relax for an hour? And then we'll come back after an hour and see how you're doing. So they left, and they even told me, we have 3 people who are being induced tonight, mm-hmm. because it's their time, but you're the only person who's actually in active labor, or not in active labor, but in labor.
Yeah, you are in active labor when you're 4.
Yeah, so I thought, okay. So they're like, okay, so like, we're all on you right
now.
That's
nice.
Yeah, and in Germany as well, they have like computer screens in each room where... like you see everyone else's CTG scan. I don't know if you have ever noticed it.
I didn't have that last time, or at least I didn't notice. But
so I noticed, and everyone else was just like, nothing. And it was just me, so I'm like, okay. Like, so basically I just felt good because they're like, we're just going to crack the door open because no one else is really here. It's just you and Eric. And Eric, we also had a single room. Mm-hmm. So they're like, Eric, if you want to relax. But Eric actually stayed with me for that hour.
Yeah.
And we just were chatting and just like, okay, like, and then I was kind of resting. Eric was kind of sleeping, reading.
Did he have a chair or?
What? Yeah, they had a chair. And because I was now on the epidural, they moved me. So the birthing rooms in Sachsenhausen, it's like a big birthing room with a ball and a tub and a bathroom and everything like this. Mm-hmm. And then there's French doors. And then it leads into another room with a bed and the CTG scan and a chair for like the partner.
Yeah.
And so technically you could have both rooms open to kind of go back and forth.
Okay.
But because I was on the epidural, they said, look, you really can't walk around. I mean, you technically, if you had support, you could, but you don't need to.
No.
And at that time I was just... you know, I even told them, again, I did not want a catheter. I did not want a catheter in me again because I just remembered how painful it was with my C-section.
Yeah.
And I got a UTI from it last time. So I just was like, I don't want a catheter. And so they were also very like, okay, well, then we'll have like a bedpan. And so I felt like old school, like, okay, I'll have a bedpan. And then I would just try to make myself, of course, go to the bathroom in it. So they were very, I think... they were just very, open to what I wanted. And they were very like, okay, if you want that, no catheter, don't worry about it.
Well, that's we're great. Just going to do it. Yeah, and great that you also knew this time, like, kind of what you wanted.
Yeah, and that's the thing where, I mean, and I'm glad that, and this is, again, calling out Amanda Graybell from her gentle birth. And it's just a point of just be confident and just, and I was very nice. Don't get me wrong. I was like, I don't want it. But it was like, hey, I don't want it because I'd rather just... And they're like, no worries. Like, you'll just have a bedpan then. I'm like, okay, cool. We're doing like old school.
That's great because I think like also the first time you give birth, you kind of just listen to what you're being told and you're not like so sure like, okay, is it okay that I say no to something or ask for something different?
Exactly. And I just felt like the last time I learned... just so much about what I didn't want and what I liked.
Yeah.
That, and not to fight back almost, but like, I'll get to those points where you're just like, nah, we're not doing that. And then they're like, okay. Like, it didn't even matter to them that they just thought, which is a good thing for everyone out there. Like, if you feel like good you don't know. Want to, because they're like, okay, cool. Like, they're not going to argue with you.
Yeah.
They're just like, okay. So, So I'm on this epidural for an hour. They come back and they check me and then they're like, look, you're at 4 centimeters. And mm-hmm. I'm like, okay. And they're like, this could last. Because I'm like, how much longer? I get to ask you questions. Yeah.
When's the baby
coming? Yeah, when is the baby coming? You know? Like, it's like, are we there yet? They're like, and the Hibama who was with me, and they were all speaking English to me, even though at first they were speaking German. They're like, do you just want to speak English? I'm like, yeah, if possible. And they're like, cool, cool. Like, we'll speak English to you.
Nice.
And so, and she's like, honestly, because you have an epidural, it could be 5 to another 10 hours. We don't know.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay. And she's like, look, but we could, if you want us to, if you, because you clearly want to get this over with. She's like, we could give you some like Pictin or whatever, some like the harsher, not the harsher of the induction medications, right? Mm-hmm. So no pills, no gel. We could just give you, and I'm like, a drop or so of it. And I said, yeah, but I have a C-section. Like that's going to increase my risk of a second C-section if I have that, mm-hmm. right? And the doctor was always with the Hibama.
Mm-hmm.
During this time, and she said, look, you not really, like, it does increase, but the rates are so low because we're only going to give you like 0.1 and the normal is like 2 or something. Okay. And we're giving you such a small dose that we can, and we can stop it at any time if you feel like your contractions are, if you feel it,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And I thought,
okay.
And they're like, but we don't have to. Like, we don't need to.
Yeah.
And then I'm very impatient. It's like, that's another thing about me that I've been working on my entire life is I am so impatient. If I want something, I just want it done.
Efficiently.
I'll rush. Like, even in kindergarten, I would get in, or like when we started like in first or second grade, they were like, finish your math assignments and then you can go play. I would just write numbers down to just like go play. I'm like, I don't have time to do this math. You want me to write these numbers? Like, I'm just going to write something and get it done. So
nice. That's funny.
It's my vice, I guess I should say. It's my, yeah. So I just thought to myself, yeah. Okay, cool. Like, if the numbers are low, if I'm good to go, and you guys have seen it. I said, I just want to make sure I have that. I really want to have vaginal birth. I don't want to have a C-section again. And they're like, no. Let's just try it. Let's try it for an hour or two. We'll come back and check. And if it's too much, if like the contractions, we'll keep watching your contractions. If it's too much, we'll just take you off of it.
Yeah.
I thought, okay, cool. Let's do that. And they're like, because you are having contractions continuously for an hour. So it's not like,
yeah,
we're just going to stop the contractions and then it's going to go away. It's just going to go back to normal and it will be a longer process.
Okay.
So again, full on conversations that with me, you know, that I was so happy to have because I just felt like I had just more information. I said, okay, let's do it. Just induce me a bit more. So then they put the drug in, they put it in the IV. And they said, okay, look, you just rest for 2 hours because you are really tired. Why doesn't your husband go sleep in the bed away from you mm-hmm. and not just in the chair? Because at this point it was like 12, like midnight.
Yeah.
And at that time I'm like, oh my God, he's going to be born on the 3rd. Like Dr. Deutsch and Ina, I'm like, is he going to be born today? And they're like, yeah, hopefully. I mean, he kind of needs to be born because you're in labor and it's, you know, and because of your C-section, like he has to be born on this day. So I'm like, okay, he made it to 12, like midnight. That's what I remember.
Yeah.
Looking at the time. Yeah. Cause I wanted, it sounds stupid, but Dagny was born on Norwegian Independence Day and Tag der Deutschen Einheit is, it's like reunification day for Germany, but it's kind of like their Independence Day.
Yeah.
And it is a random day. I don't know why they didn't choose another day, but like October 3rd it is. And so I thought, oh my God, what if my kids are just born on Independence Days for countries?
It's like a day off also.
Yeah, it's a day off. And I'm like, oh my God, all of his friends for his birthday parties. Like I'm just imagining. So I'm like, yay, we made it to the 3rd. And then again, the mom was like, he will be born today. I'm like, yeah. Yay. So it's like 12. They do this induction medication. Eric then goes into the room to sleep. And then I then fall asleep. Like, I just sleep.
Great.
And then, and they turn off all the lights kind of thing.
Good.
And then around, 1:45-ish or so, I just like wake up and I feel like a wave in my stomach, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what is this? Why am I feeling something?
Yeah.
And so I just ring the bell and I call out to Matea, who's my hibama. I'm like, Matea. And she comes in. She's like, what's going on? I'm like, why am I feeling something? Like, do I have a rupture? Like, what's going on? Like, I feel pain right now. And I wasn't like crying or anything. I was just very like, what's happening? Like, yeah. And she's like, well, you're having a contraction right now. And I look at the screen because I'm hooked up to the CTG. And I'm like, okay, why am I feeling this?
Yeah.
And she's like, well, it's been over 3 hours. Like, have you pushed the pump for the epidural? I'm like, oh, no, I haven't. And she's like, yeah, do that. So I was like, oh, shit, okay. I'm like, but I didn't rupture. And she's like, no, because you're hooked up to the CTG, we can see if there is a rupture because you're – and then I have the heart rate monitor on me.
Yeah.
We can see it because your heart rate would drop. And then the baby's heart pressure, like, we could tell
they would react
on the monitor if you have a rupture. And that's what they told me. I said, oh, okay, so no rupture. They're like, nope, it's just a contraction, but it looks like to be a strong one, so just press the epidural. So I'm like, okay. So I press the epidural, and then they're like, okay, cool, let's just check to see how far you are. It's only been two or so hours, don't worry. They check, and they're like, oh my gosh, you're at 10 centimeters.
What?
We're ready to push. I'm like, ah! I was like up from my nap, like, did I just have a rupture? No, you're ready to push. And like,
oh, and my God.
At that point, I'm like, did I just sleep through my entire labor?
Nice.
I know. And it was one of those like, yeah, laughable moments where you're like, what? You know, like, and then they're like, okay, go get Papa, call Papa. And I'm like, me? Like, who? And at that time, I'm like, who's calling Papa? And like, you know, I honestly, that's what I did. I was like, who's calling Papa? I'm like, what? Where's Eric? And then I remembered, again, speaking with the gentle birth, you know, and reviewing your last time's birth and like what could have been better and what you wanted. Mm-hmm. And I remember last time, I just felt so overwhelmed, but I didn't stop anyone from doing anything, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they're like, okay, like, last time's birth, it was the heart rate dropped. And I knew I was getting a C-section, but it was like, the heart rate dropped. Okay, hurry, we're going to go in. Let's go, blah, blah, blah. And I never told anyone, stop. Like, I don't understand what's happening right now.
Yeah, like, I need a moment.
Yeah, like, I need a moment. Like, is this okay that the heart rate dropped? Is she fine? Like, you know, it's just like, and it was at this time, I just felt this overwhelmingness of like, what is happening now? Because I just woke up and they're like, okay, yeah. Like, lights are on, like, yeah, baby's coming. Like, oh, you know, gosh. They were like so excited.
Yeah.
And then because my insurance, I'm able to have like the chef-ots there at all times during the birth.
Wow.
Yeah, private insurance. Nice insurance. So then they're like, we're going to call the, and the chef-ots was actually out of, so they had the Oberarzt or whatever. And they're like, we're going to call the Oberarzt. Like, she's on call, so she'll be here. I'm like, what? Like, kind of just like, okay, what is happening? Like, why are we waiting? Like, what's going on? Where's Papa? Like, all these things. So I just said, okay, we need to stop right now. And everyone's like, what? I'm like, I need to know the exact next steps of what's happening because I am very confused.
Yeah.
Like, who's coming, when,
and why?
Why, and where am I pushing? And they're like, okay, we called the Oberarzt. She's on her way. She'll be here probably in 10 minutes. She's driving, you know? We're going to go get your husband or Papa. He's going to come in and he'll be here. Okay. And then we're going to try to push because we feel his head and you're at 10 centimeters. Do you feel like you need to push? And I'm like, not really. I don't really feel anything.
Okay.
And then as I'm saying that, I'm like, whoo, okay, I feel a contraction. And they're like, exactly. Like, I would not push the little button anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And just relax. Like, you're going to be feeling it because the epidural isn't as strong as like, you're not going to feel anything. You will feel something.
Okay.
And then I thought, okay, so then Eric comes in and again, I feel the contractions and they're probably not as strong as they would be, but they are very strong where I'm like, ooh, this is really like a powerful like feeling.
Yeah.
And then the Oberarzt came, and it's like, okay, hi. Like, she was there. Eric was there. Eric sat kind of behind me because he gets really woozy with blood or anything. Anyways, so they're like, okay, push. And this is the one thing that I'm still thinking about looking back on it, but they're telling me to push. And again, from courses that I've taken, from the birthing courses that are in Germany as well, and in German, and also from just like watching YouTube, like natural births, like you're supposed to like breathe in and like breathe out like that. Mm-hmm. And so I was doing that at the beginning, and you know, they're like, what are you doing? You need to push. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, whew. And they're like, no, because you're breathing out that air. Yeah. And they're like, you have to hold it and like hold your breath and push.
Yeah. Okay. That's true.
And I was like, but I'm supposed to like breathe out my baby. Like, and they're like, who's telling you this? Again, we're having like full conversations. They're like, but I was told to breathe out my baby. And they're like, no, you have to like push with all your might. Like, it's not just a quick push.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. So I was doing probably for like 30 minutes, I was trying to do this, like, I wasn't believing them.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, whatever. You guys can tell me what to do, but I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And so I was like, mm-hmm. Like, that's not a push. I'm like, yes, it is, you know, because I'm in so much pain at the same time. But then I'm just remembering, like, they can't tell me what to do. You know, like, I have the control here. Mm-hmm. And again, they're like, we feel the baby's head. He's coming out. And the Oberarzt was like there. And after a while, she was like, this isn't happening because you're not pushing. You're like not pushing. And so she kind of goes and sits over in the corner. And then also she like shuts the window.
Why?
Because I was like, ugh, because I have no idea. And it was so hot in that room that I was sweating. And I'm like, don't shut the window. And she's like, no, you're screaming. And there's neighbors. And the funny thing is, I thought about you because we're on the same neighbors. Street. Yeah, we're on the same street as CJ. And the room I was in was on the street where you live, like two, you know, buildings down.
That's funny.
And I thought, oh my God, it's just like CJ. Like, she'll be fine. they'll shut their windows. Yeah, they're fine. But I was so hot and I was sweating. And I'm like, but I'm sweating so much I'm hot. And then the mom is like, because you're working. Like, and so I'm like, I need water. So then, you know, they're bringing me over water and like ice bags. I'm just pouring it on my head because I'm just sweating so much and I'm so hot in there. And I think though the Hebamma was also kind of like, dude, just leave the window open. Like, because even the Hebamma I saw was sweating and she was looking towards the other doctor and like they gave each other a look like, why did the Oberarzt just shut this window? Like, clearly this person wants, like, I kept asking, open the window, you know?
Yeah.
And they're like, no. That was the one thing. So I was actually just like, again, it like got in my mind where then I was like, what is this Oberarzt doing? Like, why is she here? Like, yeah, my insurance pays for it. But like, if you're going to shut the window on me, like,
you might as well leave.
And this, just go away. Okay. I like my Hebamma and this other doctor. But again, like, I felt like it was kind of like, that was in my mind, not the pushing. It was me being annoyed that the doctor was shutting the door or shutting the window.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
And so then like my Hebamma was like, hey, look at me. Like Mateo was like, look at me. You need to push like this. And I'm like, but where is the baby? Like, and they're like, it is coming out. But every time you push just a little, like a millimeter, but you need to do like 2 centimeters and he's out. Yeah. 2 centimeters. I'm like, I don't need that going. I'm like in inches and yards. So I'm like, what is 2 centimeters? Like, the math, I can't do it right now. But I even was like saying this and they're like laughing. We're kind of laughing. That's the thing. Like, it wasn't a distressed situation, but it was kind of frustration mixed with like, what is going on? Laughter. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, so I tried, and they're like, you could do it in one push. You could do it in 2 pushes, like 2 more contractions. And they're happening every minute to 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So they're like, you could get this baby out in 5 minutes if you wanted to. And I looked at the time and I thought, okay, I'm giving myself like 10 minutes till the 45, right? I said, till the 45, I will give myself to the 45. If not, like, I don't know if I can do this anymore because I'm just like, this is just... I've been doing it now for an hour.
Yeah.
And I see that the Oberarzt is getting annoyed because the baby should be out. Mm-hmm. And I'm not pushing correctly. I don't really understand how this is working.
Yeah.
Because I'm, again, I was told to like breathe out and have the baby like naturally come. Mm-hmm. But yet I'm like told something different. You know? So anywho, I said, okay, Kari, just like listen to them. Push how they're telling you to push and just like everything you have, just do it for the next 10 minutes. Like, just do it.
Yeah.
And so then I pushed out and then I did it so long and hard. And then I'm like, is he out? And they're like, yo, he's almost there. And at that point I'm like, should I just have a C-section? And they're like, what? Like,
not now.
And they're like, you can feel his head. And I'm like, what? And they're like, and they took my hand and they put, like, you can feel it. And I'm like, oh my God, his head is right there. And Mateo was like, Kari, I'm not going to try to worry you, but his blood pressure is coming, or his blood pressure is coming down, mm-hmm. because he wants to come out.
Yeah.
And then at that time I said, okay, actually before this, probably like maybe 10 or 15 minutes before this conversation, they're like, keep pushing. And I'm like, but I don't want to rip. I don't want to tear down there. Uh-huh. And they're like, okay. And so they like ran over, or like the doctor went over and like got this like almond oil and just like poured it all over me. And was like, we're going to try not to massage. Have you rip. Like, yeah, basically like giving me a massage.
Yeah.
And I know what they're doing, but I couldn't really feel it, you know?
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, we're going to try to make sure you don't rip. And I'm like, I really, really don't want to rip. Like, that's my one thing. And then right before, like, I'm like, oh, okay, like, they're like, do you feel his head? And I'm like, should I have a C-section? His head kind of went back in a bit because it paused. Mm-hmm. And the Oberarzt came over and said, look, I think you will rip because his head is a bit bigger. Do you want me to just cut you by 5 millimeters? I can just cut you real quick and then you probably won't rip anymore.
Okay.
And I'm like, is it only going to be 5? Do you promise? You know? And then she's like, honestly, like I can just cut you a bit and then the head will come out much easier.
Okay.
And then it won't be a rip where it could be like a centimeter or so. Mm-hmm. We don't know if you tear naturally, if you tear naturally. And I said, okay. So she just kind of goes over to this little table, gets a little knife and then just like cut, but I don't feel it because of course I have like the epidural.
Yeah.
And I don't feel it. And then that's when Mateo was like, hey, okay, Kari, we did this. The baby's, you know, heart rate is dropping. You really need to push.
Yeah.
And so then the next push, I just like tried all my might, you know?
Yeah.
And it was in pain, but I couldn't, like, that was the first time that, honestly, that push was the only time that I actually felt hard pressure. Like, mm-hmm. to push.
Yeah.
It was so weird because I never was feeling him, uh-huh. until the very, very end. Then I was like, oh, I feel him. Like, now I can push because I, like, feel something that I can push out. And then, like, a second later, he's, like, out.
The whole him?
Yeah, whole him. Just like...
Whoa.
And then they, like, put him on me.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, what did I do? You know, like, and it was just like this like overwhelming sense of like surprise that I did it because I just like 2 minutes earlier requested to have a C-section. But then like at the same time, you're like, oh, my God, he's here. And yeah, it was just this amazing like feeling because I did actually have like a T-shirt on and a bra and they're like, they like put him on me, you know, and you're like, oh my God, like this is just, it was just an insane moment and feeling. And like, yeah, it was like really, really wonderful because I felt, I'm going to cry now, but like, I felt like I was like present, even though I had my epidural, like I was totally there where last time I felt so sick because of the medication and my blood pressure was going down and everything. And I was just so excited that it was just like this adrenaline rush of me again going back and being like, oh my God, he's here. Look at him. Yes. And then Dagny came out screaming. Okay. She like would not stop screaming. And I was like, oh my God, she has healthy lungs, you know? And Ragnar was like, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, why isn't he screaming? You know? And they're like, it's fine. He's fine. But I'm like, shouldn't he be like yelling bloody murder? And they're like, not all babies scream. I'm like, okay. You know, I'm like holding him. And then, but then it kind of, so again, this is like, it's such a, looking back on it, it was similar. Like, going from 4 to 10 while you're sleeping, like I basically bypassed my labor and then pushed for an hour, which is also really, I don't know how long you pushed with Emily, but
I don't know.
But like, I was just asking, like, how long was I pushing for? They're like, an hour. So he was born at like 2:48. I made it to the 45 line.
You did it.
Yeah, I did it. And I was just so proud of myself, but like proud that everything happened. However, then, and this is kind of where the, I'm like going to 40 minutes, but like, this is where the story kind of takes a turn where, you know, the placenta comes out. And again, I read like, it's just kind of jelly at that point, and it's just like a contraction happens and it comes out. And so,
yeah. Were they like pushing on your stomach and stuff?
Not really. No.
Okay.
And they just said, okay, the placenta's coming out next. Or I actually asked, is the placenta coming next? Cause yeah. I said, I want to see it.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, yeah, the placenta is coming. And so the doctors, all two of them were there, and then the midwife was, so they were just like surrounding me, and then they had kind of like a bucket to catch the placenta.
Yeah.
Because I was on my back kind of pushing, and they're like, okay, here's the placenta. And so, but when the placenta came out, it was just like a whoosh, and I just heard so much blood. Like, or so much, basically, I thought it was like water. I thought it was like my water broke.
Yeah.
And it was just all over the floor. And I could see it just like hit the doctors on their, like out on their scrubs. And even like hit some, like the Hibam in the face with blood. You know what I mean? And I'm like, what was that?
Yeah.
Like, that's the placenta? Like, and they're like, and they all look at each other. And they say, okay. And then they kind of go and like speak German in, not in the corner, but just kind of like they're mumbling, not mumbling, but they're mumbling to me in German. Yeah. And at that time I said, did I just hemorrhage? Do I need a blood transfusion? Because I knew one of my friends in the US had a hemorrhage and had to have like 2 blood transfusions. And like, it was very, very dangerous. And they were like, they instantly said, no, we don't think you have that much blood loss. But, and then I look at Eric, and Eric is just like, because he cannot stand the sight of blood. And now it's just like
a lot of blood,
a flood of blood that just came out. But at that time, then they said, okay. And then they basically like, were like, we're going to call some other doctors in here. So they called the anesthesiologist to come back in to like check my blood rate to see if they needed to like inject me with basically like something to keep my heart going. Okay. And they're like, we're just making sure that he doesn't need to inject you to keep your heart going. Because of course, if your heart stops because you've lost so much blood.
What?
Yeah. And I'm like, but what's going on? Like, I thought it was just like a placenta coming out, you know?
This
like,
sounds scary.
Yeah. Very much so. And then they're like, you have to lay down. Here's the baby on you. And then I'm like, I don't feel good right now. Like, I feel like I'm going to pass out. And they're like, stay awake. Don't go to sleep. You know? And so then the... it was basically an emergency situation. So there's like 2 other doctors coming in. They're checking my heart pressure, my blood pressure, or my heart rate, my blood pressure. And they're like, okay, like it's low. It's very low, but it's in the normal. Like it's not too low where you're going to go under. I'm like, okay, do I need anything? Do I need a blood transfusion? And they're like, we're weighing the blood right now. And later I found out that what they did was they like took pads.
Yeah.
And they basically soak up the blood and then they put it in like a bucket and then they weigh it.
To find out how much you
to
lost.
To find out how much I lost. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no. But and then they got an ultrasound person coming in to do an ultrasound while the Oberarzt was basically like looking to see what, why. Like, why did I just have this hemorrhage?
Yeah, where's it coming from?
And they said, we see there's little, there's pieces of the placenta that's still in you.
Uh-huh.
It's, you didn't have strong enough contraction. And so then they're like, we're going to have to manually remove everything.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, like, what does that mean? And then they're like, press the epidural again. I'm like, no, but I don't want the epidural again because I want to move around. Like, that's my baby. I even said that. I'm like, I don't want it. And they're like, no. This is going to be very painful if you don't have it. So I press the epidural button again.
Okay.
And then they basically took like this large spoon. They like, I basically had my legs in stirrups. like a normal like exam.
Gynecological exam.
Mm-hmm. They have like the little tongs that open you up, and then they just took this like large, like honestly like this big of like a scraper, and then they just were like scraping, and I could see it because one of the doctors was holding the ultrasound on my uterus while the head doctor was like scraping it all out.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and so I'm like holding Ragnar, like, okay, what? And they're
you're
asking me these questions. Yeah, they're asking me
the
like,
baby?
Do you have issues with bleeding out? Like, do you have clotting issues? You know, do you have like hemoglobin things? Is your iron low? And I'm like, my iron is always low, but I take iron supplements. You know, and they're like, do you ever have painful periods? Like endometriosis? No, I've never had painful periods. And, you know, the Hibama is like joking with me. She's like, you're the lucky one of us who doesn't like trying to like keep lighten the mood. But again, I'm over here as well. So happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Looking back on it now, it's like, oh, my gosh. But in this time, they're scraping me out. I'm like, Eric, look at Ragnar. Take a picture. Like I wasn't like connecting it because they told me you don't need a blood transfusion. Your heart rate's fine.
Okay.
We're going to be monitoring you though.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, okay, cool. And then now looking back on it, you're like, oh my God. Because then they told me I lost a little bit more than a liter of blood, which technically is a postpartum hemorrhage. But because my heart and blood pressure and everything was fine, they didn't give me a blood transfusion. And they did, though, later give me an iron transfusion or iron infusion, I guess, is like, which is a solvent or, with saline and iron. But that's the thing. So, like, I was just so happy. And then they kind of stitched me up from that five, you know. And I'm like, again, during this time, are the stitches disposable? When's the next time I have to go see my doctor? Like, and again, looking back, it's like, oh my gosh, it was so scary probably that, you know, you woke up probably thinking you had a rupture. You didn't. Then you like had a hemorrhage. Then, you know, but you didn't have a blood transfusion. I'm like, but I was so just on adrenaline and excited that my baby was there that I just didn't even think about this stuff.
Yeah.
And so, but then they sewed me up, they cleaned up everything, and then they just said, look, we're going to watch you, and you're probably going to have to stay in the hospital for like 3 days, like you yourself, just to make sure that, you know, your iron levels are fine.
Yeah, that the blood levels go up again.
Exactly. And so since then, though, and then it was kind of like the next day, you know, Eric, we slept in the same room. Eric then left to go bring Dagny to the daycare and everything, and then I just stayed in the hospital with Ragnar, and over the next 3 days, Ragnar Gordon was his name, is his name. And yeah, I don't know. It was one of those things. I look back on it now, and I've spoken to the doctors afterwards about it. And they said, look, next time we know this, the reason why could be multiple, but we at least know the reason. It was the placenta didn't fully come out.
Yeah.
It wasn't this just like, why is she bleeding out? It's, we know the reason. Next time we can prevent it by giving you a shot that like makes the contraction like really strong to get the placenta out of there. But you're already at high risk for this because they said because you had a C-section before, so you already have a uterine issue. You were on an epidural. And then also like they said your iron levels were already low, and when your iron's low, it causes issues such as you can't push out the placenta. And then they said, and then you're redheaded. I'm like, what is that? And then they're like, no, it's a stereotype that like, and I have heard this before, like we have to have more anesthesia because we can't control the pain. Like the pain is just too strong and it like metabolizes too quickly.
Interesting.
Our pain management is horrible, which I would agree with sometimes. And then they said, we lose a lot of blood. We like bruise easily and things like that. And so they're like, so maybe it's just cause you know that too. I'm like, okay. So anywho, they said next time they'll be more prepared for it. And throughout this last 3-4 days, I've just been focusing my entire diet, taking iron supplements, but my entire diet has been like steak, egg, spinach, some type of liver products. Food. Yeah. and I like, even Eric's like, are we on like a paleo diet? Like, what is this? And I'm like, cause I'm like, okay, no, we don't need any of this extra stuff. Like I only need iron. So I'm like putting steak with my eggs in the morning. You know what I mean? And just like, Right. Yeah, just trying to get as much iron as possible. But yeah, that's my birth story.
Wow, and you did it. You had a knee bag.
I know.
Which was
I know.
Your wish, and he came on the day that you predicted.
I know. He came on the day I predicted and kind of wanted, because I thought it would just be like a cute little funny thing to say that he gets a day off if we stay in Germany with all of his friends to have his little birthday party. And then, I don't know. So I'm very, very happy about it. With the iron loss and stuff, that'll come and go. But like, mm-hmm. I'm very, very happy with like how it ended. And even the recovery is just so, even with the iron gone and the recovery process, it's just totally different.
Than the C-section.
Oh yeah. Like and it makes me so happy that I was able to have, like a vaginal birth. And I feel like get to experience the contractions, the pushing, you know, your husband next to you, like, you can do it, you know, and like really doing it, you know.
I'm so happy for you. And I mean, it sounds scary, the whole placenta not coming out all the way, I'm so glad that it sounds like you still had a good experience
with
the birth.
I did, and honestly I think it was just because I mean, it's just when the baby, and I don't want to get emotional, but like when the baby's there, it's like, you're so happy that like they're healthy, and like, even you're thinking you're healthy, but like, you're just so happy that all this stuff happened. And I just was honestly just like, someone take a picture of, like, I honestly just was in my own world with him, because it was like, oh, all this stuff will be fine. There's like five doctors around us. Like, we're fine, you know? And so and I know people who've had other issues before with after a VBAC, so vaginal birth after C-section. Mm-hmm. And it's always been just successful. I did speak with the doctor though, and every single birth is always going to be like a risk, because I had the C-section. Yeah. But now I know I can do it.
Yes.
And pain management is there, that I can take an epidural and I'm actually fine with it.
Yes.
So I know we're going into like the 15-minute time. This is a long one, but I'm really happy. And I just, if anyone feels like they want to do a vaginal birth after their C-section, I would really recommend to try it, because it is just a different experience. And like, you know, because you've done a vaginal birth, but like, even that feeling of like the baby leaving you.
Yeah.
It's such a weird...
It's a crazy feeling.
It's a crazy feeling that I even, like, think about it sometimes. Like, oh my gosh. Like, it's just like... Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a feeling. But again, I'm just... It makes me proud to, like, be a woman and to, like, experience that feeling.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. Yeah. It's a special thing.
Yeah. And you're going to go through it maybe in the next week.
I'm next. Yeah. I'm getting impatient, but...
I know.
Could be any day now, but yeah, could also be, you know.
Another 2 weeks.
I hope it's not going to be another 2 weeks, but you never know. I know.
I'm so excited. But thank you everyone though for listening. Keep us posted on your thoughts on Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our Expecting Expats. I honestly don't know though when we'll be back, because I know maybe your birth story will be next. But
we'll keep you guys updated.
Yeah, it could be in 2-3 weeks, but also even after, you should take as much time as possible. CJ was so kind to bring over food, and I'm like, why don't we just talk about my birth story as we're podcasting?
I cried as soon as I saw you. This is the first time seeing you and seeing your little baby boy, and he's so beautiful. Like, oh my god,
we just love him so much. But anyways, we'll keep you all posted about even how the sister-brother relationship's going, and how we're handling the two under two.
We'll have a lot of updates for you guys as soon as we are able to record.
Exactly. But thanks again, everyone, for listening.
Yes, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.